Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. We are going to have a pretty packed show. We didn't have a show last week. My Giants-Dodgers show didn't actually happen either, but we're going to push that Giants-Dodgers show to sometime early December, I believe. My buddy Draven is still just in heaven with the Dodgers winning back-to-back championships.
Nobody wants to hear that. I'm kidding.
And we will, we'll talk a lot. We'll catch up. We'll kind of look ahead a little bit. And also, because of we're not coming back next week because of the holiday, which I don't know if a lot of people are like, hey, you know what? I need to listen to a baseball podcast on Tuesday morning when I'm on holiday week. But it's not because of that. It's because we got stuff going on. I'm actually going to be out of town, heading to Tucson to visit my parents. Yay. We're nice. Road tripping it because we're bringing the dogs. So it's going to be a long drive on Monday. And I just realized this, which is the Niners play the Panthers Monday night. And I was talking to Rod yesterday after the Niners game. And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll do a show. And then I was like, oh, wait, I'm going to be driving probably through at least a lot of the beginning of the game. So we're probably going to have to change that up with Rod next week. I will still bring a mic. So if the Wi-Fi is okay, maybe Rod and I can do something after the fact. But no other shows will happen next week just for the holiday. So just a heads up for that.
You got to have a mic for when we sign Tucker, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, if we need some emergency radio, I will have my microphone ready. So
there you go.
We are going to talk about the free agents this show. So Brad's on that one. But we're also going to talk about some of the stuff that has happened since we last recorded, such as, oh, by the way, did you know Mason Black is no longer on the Giants? other stuff like coaches. And I just learned this today. Javier Lopez took a job in baseball operations, which he doesn't even quite know what it involves. So it's kind of an early thing, but it's good to be a friend of Buster. Though from what I understand, like he's really, really sharp when it comes to this stuff. So
this isn't a Trump thing where it's just like, give your buddies a job so they can get a paycheck, right?
That's Buster's best friend is not with the organization anymore.
Yeah. I saw Javi Lopez in Vegas last week. I was just heading up the escalator with my wife, and we were in the Cosmopolitan looking for speakeasies. I don't know if you've ever gone speakeasy hunting in Vegas, but it's a blast. It really is fun. There's probably a good like 7 or 8 of them on the strip. And there's like 3 of them in the Cosmo alone, which was kind of fun. So we were on a mission, and then I knew that the GM meetings were happening in Vegas, but I didn't know that they were at the Cosmo until I walked in and I started seeing Major League Baseball tags, and I was like, oh my goodness. And so, heading up the escalator and saw Javi Lopez walking by with a group of 3 or 4 other guys. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 5'8". So that's not, a lot of people are big dudes to me, but he's a big dude and still is very tall guy and very intimidating looking, but we know his personality from the broadcast and from him being a Giants pitcher for so many years. So we also knew that he was a teddy bear. So I kind of figured if I went up to him and saw him and said hi, and can I get a quick picture, he would have been all for it. But I was already halfway up the escalator. So
you did get some other photos though that I saw.
Yeah. So before that, we were on the ground floor and we were walking by and I saw somebody taking a picture with looked like a ball player. I couldn't quite see him. He was kind of blocked. And all of a sudden I go, oh, my God, that's Sergio Romo. I mean, just easy to spot in a crowd. And he was walking and he had a caddy with him because it was also Major League Baseball kind of pro-am tournament.
Oh, no way.
Golf tournament. So there's lots of cool pictures from that from this week. And they put rivals together. So it was it was Giants players against, so Russ Ortiz and Sergio Romo were on a team against two Dodger players. So they paired a couple of Red Sox players with a couple of Yankees players. So
who were the Dodgers players? Like, because Romo and Russ Ortiz is like a bridging of like two different generations of Giants.
Yeah, I've got to go back and look, but Justin, I also passed Justin Turner on the ground floor at the Cosmo. Didn't want to stop him because... Dodger. And but he was paired up in the Yankees Red Sox division because he played for the Red Sox. So
right.
But you know, I can't remember. I gotta go back and look at the picture and see who the Dodger players were. But I think I can't remember. Might have been Euclid was the other Red Sox player. But Sergio Romo was the nicest. Denise was blown away. My wife was blown away. She kept talking about how nice and sweet he was. I mean, he saw us. And it was like we were the celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
He saw us and he goes, hey. And I said, hey, can I take a quick picture with you? And he's like, yeah. So I told him that I used to do a play-by-play for the San Jose Giants back in the day. He goes, oh, man, you just missed me. I was there right afterwards. I said, yeah, I called Vogelsong's first game in San Jose. I said, that was a pleasure. Like, oh, that's awesome. And then he just kind of moved along, but it was so cool to meet him. Then we're about to find the speakeasy. It took us forever to find the second speakeasy. And we had to look for a door with a ski, like a kind of a skier, little emblem of a skier on it. It was a paneled wood door that just looked like it was a wall.
So this is like a quest. Like, it's not like I'm going to put it on my map to go here. Like, you actually have to search for this thing.
Yeah. You can find it on the map, but you can't visually see it when you're walking by. I think it's on the map here. I'm not 100% sure. That's a restaurant. Do we have to? So some of them, you actually had to walk through the restaurant, turn left, and go through the janitor door. And so there'd be a janitor door. You open the janitor door and walk in, and there's a guy standing there, and then there's a door behind him, and then you have to knock on the door and give, and sometimes some of them would give you an Instagram password that day, and it's only good for that day.
Oh, wow. And if you got the thing wrong, they would not let you in.
Exactly. So, So we did find the speakeasy, but as we were walking to the one, I passed by this hulking gentleman. I go, that's got to be... And his head was down and he looked up. I go, oh my God, it's legend Gary Sheffield. I've never seen that big of a ball player in not only just in lore and stature, but also in size. I mean, Gary Sheffield is a big dude.
Yeah.
And we walked by and I turned and looked at him. And he kept walking away, and I kind of said out loud to my wife, I said, holy crap, is that Gary Sheffield? And he heard me, and he turned around, and he gave me a smile, and I go, oh, my God. So I walked over, that's got a quick picture. Yeah, and he had a cigar. So that's when I knew it was Gary Sheffield. When I saw the cigar, too, I go, that's Gary Sheffield. And he was the nicest dude, too. He stopped, took a quick picture, moved on. I said, you should be in the Hall of Fame. I said,
maybe he was one of the guys on the Dirty Dodgers.
He could have been. I got to go back and Romo posted some pictures, but they were on his Instagram stories. So I think they're gone, but I think I can find some pictures, somewhere on a website because it was kind of a big deal. But it was a really fun, kind of a fun day to run into all those guys. And then
no Buster sighting.
No Buster sighting. I was looking for him. Turns out Pavlovich interviewed Buster in the same room that we were at, because I probably about an hour before we got there. Then when I went back and watched Pavlovich's interview with Buster, I was like, that's the same room, because we saw a concert there last October. It was right in front of at the Cosmopolitan. There's a Chelsea theater, and it was right in the front of the Chelsea theater, this lobby area where he did the interview. And that's where we went looking to see if we could see any players, reporters, or whatever. I did see Ken Rosenthal. Didn't talk to him. He was talking to two or three other guys. Didn't want to bug him. A couple other guys I recognized kind of briefly. I go, I know who that is. But again, without uniforms and hats, you're thrown a little bit. It's a little bit different, but, all together, it was just kind of a fun trip to walk around and see those guys. So if you look at my Blue Sky account, I did post the picture with Romo. I did post a picture with Gary Sheffield. It's at Evans 5150. You can find that on Blue Sky. So
And so when you are with your wife and you guys are hanging out and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, is that Gary Sheffield? Does she go, you're such a fanboy? Or is she like in it? Like she's, oh, that's cool. You get to see, you know, he's famous.
She was in it for me.
Okay.
She was like, because when we went in and sat down in the speakeasy, we're looking at the drink menu. I'm trying to order a drink. And she goes, she looked at me, smiled. She goes, you're flustered, aren't you? I go, yeah. I said, I just ran into Gary Sheffield. I said, this guy's 500 home runs in the major leagues. I said, this is like one of the biggest stars in baseball I've ever come across, other than, you know, I've run into Will Clark before at games.
Mm-hmm.
Games. I ran into Willie McGee at a Reno Aces game. He was in the crowd. Got Bob Feller's autograph at San Jose Municipal Stadium when I was doing play-by-play for the San Jose Giants. He was there signing. So I actually got his autograph. But the first, you know, baseball player I've walked by in like street clothes and gone, oh my God, that's a gigantic Major League Baseball player. So she goes, you're kind of flustered. She goes, I said, yeah, sorry about that. I said, I know we're trying to be in the moment and we're enjoying hanging out on this vacation. She goes, no, I love it for you. This is fantastic. And she was really into it. She loved meeting Romo. Like I said, she knows Romo, you know, she knows all the World Series teams, and it was a big deal in the house when it was happening. So
who would that be for her? Who would that like if she saw someone on the streets, who would that be for her?
Rachel Ray. I don't know. She likes, Ray, you know, any of the people from The Office. We did mm-hmm. see Oscar at Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
Oscar from The Office. We ran into him at Disneyland. Didn't say hi to him, but those types of people.
Did you see the new show that
the paper?
Did? Yeah.
No, we do have that on our list. We're finishing up. We started watching The Office with the youngest kids. She's 17 now. I say youngest, but mm-hmm. We started watching The Office with her probably around the beginning of summer, and we're about 5 episodes left in the entire series.
Okay.
When that's over, we're going to move on to, and we're also watching St. Dennis, which is kind of, you know, the same creators. Then we're going to move on to The Paper, and then we're going to start New Girl with the 17.
There you go.
Because that's such a fantastic show. I haven't watched that in a long time.
The Paper is short. It's only like 12 episodes or 11 or something like that.
Yeah, usually in like St. Dennis, I highly recommend. That's also on Peacock and NBC. But that's another good one. It's a documentary style.
I'll tell Crystal about that one.
Yeah, David Alan Greer is the main doctor in it, the old grumpy doctor. So, which is funny to think that David Alan Greer plays an old grumpy doctor now. So.
All right, enough about that. Let's talk about Giants baseball. So just wanted to mention some of the news that has been going on. So we got a comment here saying Buster needs to stop the penny pinching. I'm tired of hearing we are shopping the margins. They should trade for Bubic or Cabrera. I saw, is it Bubic or Bubic?
It's Bubic.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that there was an article in The Athletic from a Royals beat writer that he was going to be available for trade.
Did see that, yeah.
So, George, you will be happy to hear that we are about to go over free agent stuff, and we have to reference the Buster comments and the Greg Johnson comments about, you know, maybe they may not go big game hunting, and that may say, well, we did it already with the Devers trade because we're on the hook for a lot of money, or that may say, you know, we don't really like a lot of these guys and we're saving our money for the next wave. So we'll get into that. But first, I want to go over some of the latest news. So I think we mentioned that Dusty Baker was going to be an advisor and that we thought Bochy would do so as well. And Bochy is also on board with becoming an advisor. And I my question, and you know, we've been very Tony Vitello heavy in our last two episodes. So, of course, he's the big story because he's the new manager. But we'll lay off a little bit. But I do have a question related to Vitello for you, which is, how much do you think Bochy and Baker could possibly help a first-time manager? Like, what would you expect them to help with? Like, what does Tony have questions about? Like, it's kind of interesting just to think about all that knowledge. Like, he's got like Wikipedia like right in the next room whenever he needs it. Like, well, what is he actually going to be pinging them about?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've been thinking about that one the last couple of days too, because it's not going to be in-game stuff. It's not going to be real time. You know, hey, I got a runner here. I got this pitcher. What should I do? You got to go on baseball instincts with that. But you know, that being said, I think Buster Posey and Zach Manassian did say recently in an interview with Pavlovich that they are going to go over that type of stuff in the offseason. I thought something interesting from the article I read today was that they didn't give him, they said with some managers in the past in interviews, we've given game situations. We put game situations up on a TV and said, in this situation, what would you do? Because they want to kind of see, are they on the same page? Mm-hmm. They said they didn't do any of that with Vitello. That during the offseason and spring training, they were going to kind of get on the same page with some of the decision-making and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's where you're going to get Baker and Bochy a little bit more in the game-to-game situation, hitter-to-hitter situation in the major leagues. Are they going to go over? I mean, they're going to go over the big names like Shohei and Shohei's situation. What do you do? And you know, when he comes to the plate, and how are we going to pitch to him? Pretty much every time he comes to the plate, are we going to bonds him and walk him with the bases loaded? No, they're not going to do that. but they're going to go over some situations, and I would imagine in the offseason and spring training, that's going to be the extent of it. He's probably going to hit them up, you know, during the season. There's going to be little things here and there. Bochy's not going to be traveling anymore. Baker's not going to be traveling anymore. So, you know, it's going to be a little text here and there, some phone calls here and there during the regular season. But I think that they can help him out with, you know, how to pitch certain guys in certain situations, ballparks too. I mean, Vitello is not at all familiar with Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. He's not familiar with Petco. He's not even familiar with Oracle. So a lot of things are going to have to come into play. Like, okay, where do we shade guys?
Right.
And, you know, when the wind is blowing in at Oracle, how are we playing? And so Baker and Bochy are the perfect guys because each of those guys, you know, managed 81 games a year in that ballpark for so many years. So,
you know what I thought? Remember they used to do those really funny, commercials before the season would start, you know, because they had these fun personalities, the Brandon and Brandon commercial, you know, you have all these funny guys. And I was thinking, like, you know, you got your coach is kind of your biggest personality now. Your manager's like the biggest personality, and your GM is the biggest star. Your baseball ops guy, the president of baseball ops, is the biggest star in the whole organization. So you have these two guys, and you know, you have now Baker and Bochy, and like I would do this commercial where, you know, sort of similar to what you said, like, you know, Buster's got the clicker and him and Vitello are, you know, going through some stuff, and Buster's like, okay, now what do we do here? You know, runner on first, whatever. And then Vitello gives his answer, and then Posey goes, all right. And he looks and someone comes through the door and it's like Bochy. And he's like, is he right or is he wrong? And Bochy just goes, thumbs down.
Oh, no.
And then the other one, they have Dusty Baker come out and he's like, thumbs down. Like, I would love to see them. Like, those used to be fun commercials. And you got to play into it. And this is something that, you know, something that they're really interested in doing, which is really bringing the community back to the team, right? Because the Giants, when you win 3 World Series in 5 years, you kind of become a little corporate. There's a little bit of like success. And so how do you kind of bring it back? I would love to see them do fun stuff like that, because you may have the perfect manager to do that stuff with.
I like the idea, and you and I would get it. but could you imagine the ops on that with the day and age of social media? That would get absolutely destroyed. The conspiracy theories during the games would be, hey, that was a great pitching decision. Did Bochy make that call to the bullpen? I mean, it would not go over well with the internet era, but you and I would, we'd get a kick out of it. We'd laugh because we'd know, you know, we would get what's behind it.
Right.
I just don't think like 70% of the fan base would be okay with it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, I guess some of the things that he's never done before, he's never run spring training for a team before, right? So there may be some interest in like, how do I, you know, what's your advice in like getting everybody together and breaking up the practices and, you know, leaning on the veterans and this and that. So I could see them being available for that. And, you know, if you're going to ask Bochy about some hunches, right? You asked him about the bullpen, like, you know, what did you think when this happened in this game? Like, what led you to that? And you could learn some stuff there. And, you know, for Dusty, you know, Devers is a big personality, and Dusty managed maybe the biggest personality in the history of baseball in Barry Bonds. How did you deal with, you know, somebody like that? So I could see stuff like that would be pretty interesting to discuss with those guys. But like I said, you got Wikipedia like right there at your leisure. So I hope that they do have some good discussions with him and that, you know, he can tap in whenever. And you're right. You don't want to get to a point where all of a sudden, you know, the Athletic reports that Tony Vitello does not want to ask Bruce Bochy for advice anymore because the fans don't think he's as good of a manager, like stuff like that. You don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
All right, so some of the other things that are going on. We had Joe Maddon critiquing the Vitello hiring. He called it insulting.
Yeah. Oh, poor guy.
Insulting to those who paid their dues in the minors. And he said, I'm using the word insulting only from the perspective that it appears as though you don't have to have any kind of experience on a professional level to do this job anymore. That, I kind of expected it. And if I would have thought about it, I could have even predicted that it would be Joe Maddon to make this comment. But because Vitello skipped through a lot of the process, you know, as these managers get aged out, because a baseball manager can be around for a very long time. Yeah. But remember when we were talking about Bochy and Buster was like, I would love to have Bochy back, but he would not be in the lead manager role. And it was explained that you want a guy who's there for the long run. You don't want to have to worry about somebody who may retire after every season. So in that instance, like Joe Maddon, very successful, I don't remember the last time I really heard that he was up for a job. So, you know, he probably feels that he's been pushed out or aged out a little bit himself.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what a little bit of it was. And I liked Vitello's response was basically like, well, it's unfortunate he feels that way because he was going to be one of the guys I called to lean on and ask some questions.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a little bit of a an ego bust, I think, for Madden maybe to hear that back to say like, hey, this guy was going to call you and you're sitting there bashing on him and you could have been like the elder spokesman and, mm-hmm. and helped out the younger crop. But instead, you're going to be the grumpy old man that says, you know, like I didn't get a job. So now I'm mad about it. The younger guys who don't pay their dues are getting their jobs. But, you know, but Bochy's fine with it. Dusty's fine with it. Buster's fine with it. Buster made the call and Buster's been around the game and done some great things in the game and is a champion, a three-time champion. So I don't know. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with what Buster and Bochy and Baker all think, you know, they all have got quite a few rings together. So, but yeah, I just thought it was a little bit of a, you know, Simpsons meme of old man yells at the clouds. Just
you know what's interesting about it though is if you're KMBR, because he came on KMBR, and you are asking Joe Maddon this question, he gave you the answer that you were hoping to get from him.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, because yeah, if he would have said, "I thought this was a great hire," we're not talking about it,
right?
We're not talking about it.
They got so many extra plays on that if they threw that thing on YouTube or whatever, just because. Like I mean, it became a national story. It wasn't just a local story, so that was it.
I saw the headlines everywhere, and I was like, "Is there something new on this?" No, same old story. Oh, maybe something new. Nope, same old story.
All right, let's talk about some of the staff here. So we know no Bob Melvin, no Ryan Christensen. He went to the A's. Yeah. Matty Williams, we did not expect Matty Williams to be back. Mark,
he had a rough, and just I want to say goodbye to him in a good way because I love Matt Williams.
Yeah.
But we gave him a little bit of guff during the season for some of his calls at
and
third
plus
base.
He stank-eyed us during when we were on the field.
He did, but I got to give it to him because he was trying to make some things happen. This offense was a little rough this season, so wish Matty well, and I hope, you know, and I hope he does well out there. That's all I can say.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure if Melvin gets another shot, that's his guy, so Matty will be with him.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Mark Hallberg went to the Minnesota Twins to be their bench coach. There was some talk, possibly, that he... you know, he could inherit the third base coach role, but he checked out, and it's you know, we talked about Buster and his friends. This is the friend that we thought was going to kind of, you know, maybe get to take advantage of being Buster's buddy, but he bailed out. So that was interesting. And then JP Martinez went to the Atlanta Braves to be their bullpen coach. And, that one, I wonder if that one is kind of the one that hurts, because never heard a bad thing about that guy.
No, and I think he did a good job with what he had last year, pitching staff-wise. You just had, you know, you had two aces in Robbie Ray and Logan Webb, and then you had Verlander, old guy coming off an injury, and then you had a bunch of young kids who you didn't know what you had. And I think he held the staff together as long as he possibly could, you know, and it just kind of broke down in late August and September. But I thought he did really well with the pieces he had, and I would have loved to have seen what he could have done going forward. So it's going to be interesting to see. I did see Vogelsong's name out there as a rumor as the new Giants pitching coach, which would be interesting because then there's another guy who hasn't worked in the bigs or, you know, coaching in the bigs or anything like that. So I hope that doesn't piss off Joe Maddon.
he's like, and these pitching coaches.
This is going to put him over the edge, man.
And then, so who have they brought in so far? So Hunter Mentz, not Hunter Pence, Mentz. Is the new hitting coach. He played under Vitello at Missouri. And he was the assistant hitting coach with the Toronto Blue Jays. So that's, you know, you pluck a guy off of the World Series runner up who, and, you know, they just hit bombs. So that's a nice one. And also Quentin Eberhardt as the director of sports performance also comes from the Vitello staff, was the director of baseball sports performance at Tennessee. And then the reported one, though, is this official? I haven't seen the Tingler one as official yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything official on that either. Well, I mean, I have seen something where they basically signed him, but I haven't seen like a major announcement of any kind. Mm-hmm.
Jace Tingler was heavily rumored to join the team because of also his ties as a former teammate of Vitello's, and he's a former manager in the bigs, and also was on the bench with the Twins. So that is that one just sounded like it was like, yeah, that one made a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and then I mentioned Mason Black. He was traded to the Royals in exchange for right-hander Logan Martin. So hopefully it's good luck to be named Logan in the Giants organization and be a pitcher. So Black was DFA'd, and then I guess he was going to be claimed, and they just decided to make a trade there. Unfortunate, because he was one of those, you know, when we first started this podcast and we were talking about, you know, guys coming up through the system, and Black was somebody that we had always talked about, like, oh, you know, if he gets it together, he could be on this staff. And it just never worked out for him. Yeah. And he had a very poor year last year. So unfortunate for him. But hey, you know, he's still a young dude and he can fix himself or do whatever he needs to do to make it in Kansas City. And Logan Martin, 24, former 12th round pick, pitched well at high A last year, but at 24, you're kind of old at that level. And he's Rule 5 eligible next year, so the Giants have a little bit of time to kind of take a look. And yeah, so that is that was the move for Mason Black.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny too with pitching, because you see the type of stuff, and we were just talking about Vogelsong earlier. I mean, you see what happens to him. He leaves the Giants, comes back, and ends up being a big deal for the Giants. And then, you know, didn't do so well in Pittsburgh, comes back to us, and then just kind of blows up and becomes that guy. So these guys find something sometimes later in their careers. But with the Giants situation, they need guys, you know, they need guys in AAA and on the roster who they can count on to come up and give them like 2, 3, 4 starts if they need to over the span of a month. So, yeah, just roster turnover. We didn't have a whole lot of that this season with Buster. We got used to having that like every 5 minutes with Farhan.
Yeah.
So anytime we get roster turnover right now, we're like, whoa, what's going on? We're making a move.
Also from George here said that Justice De Los Santos of the Mercury News reported that catching coach Alex Berg is returning in the same capacity. So it's cool, because, you know, one of the things about these regimes, and of course Vitello is putting his team together, but then what about the old regime? What about the guys who were with, you know, the team before? And then what do you do with those guys? So it's kind of cool. And I think who was saying it? I forget. You know, we've listened to so many interviews and so many podcasts about this stuff, but they were saying how when the manager gets fired, you're trying to help some of the folks on the staff who may not be back, like land in other places as part of the whole deal. So yeah. It's good to see that they saw Berg as someone who they wanted to bring back. So that's really cool. Okay, so let's look at these free agents, and I don't even want to predict who the Giants might could bring. Here's what I want to predict, and this is the question that you have to answer as I bring up these names. Will the Giants actually make a serious offer to this person. That is the way I want us to think of this. We're going to have so many conversations about free agency over the off season. So this is kind of the beginning of it. But I did the top 50 list. We're not going to go through all 50, but these are folks who are on the top 50 list.
So I'm Buster Posey. Do I want to invest in this guy? Do I want to put a number out there for him?
And those numbers are legitimate, like for the top free agent right now, Kyle Tucker. If you say yes, the Giants will make an offer, you're talking no less than 10 years, $400 million. That is the offer that even like you may get a text back with that offer, right? It's probably going to be more. So would the Giants be willing to offer whatever the going rate is for this guy to get in the mix like they did with Shohei? They were dollar for dollar with the Dodgers. Shohei just picked the Dodgers. They were dollar for dollar with the Yankees. Aaron Judge just picked the Yankees. Are they willing to be in those conversations? So let's start with Kyle Tucker.
Okay. Kyle Tucker, 28 years old. 10 years, what'd you say? 10 years, 400 is what we're looking at, possibly.
Even more than likely. But like that probably gets you a text back.
Yeah. I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I think is he number one on all the lists, I would imagine?
I think so, yeah.
And the Giants have a tendency to go after the number one on the list. That's what they do. Yes, they got Devers. Yes, they signed Adamas last season. But I think the Giants have been looking for that absolute marquee outfielder for years. Basically since Bonds, and this is your chance. I mean, you tried with Harper, and then, you know, Harper's a first baseman, but you at least tried for a guy who was young. We weren't in on Juan Soto.
No,
but I think with Kyle Tucker, you've got to put that out there, just because he is that outfielder. You know, he's a 30 home run a season guy. He was hurt second half of the season last year, so that brought his numbers down. I don't think that's going to play into what the money is offered to him. But if I'm Buster and Zach, then I'm saying adding Kyle Tucker to Ramos, Devers, Chapman, and Adamas gives us a pretty formidable lineup and fills an outfield spot that is desperately needed. So I'm going yes on that.
Okay, so you think that Buster Posey and Zach Manassian, you think that they're going to be in the mix?
I think so.
All right, I love it.
I hope so, and I think so. I also hoped with Juan Soto, and we didn't even do anything.
we were talking about Juan Soto like 2 years before he was a free agent.
Yeah, but Juan Soto was also, what, 24, I think, last season when he was a free agent. We're talking about a 28-year-old. So I think it's a little bit different. I think the financial, because what was his deal?
Soto just turned 27. So he would have been like 26 last year at this point.
I think when we started talking about him, he was 24 when he was getting traded to the Padres and whatnot. So his deal was $700 million, something like that. So that's why I think, yes, they're going to be in on Tucker.
So Tucker solves your right field issue. He plays right field. As he gets older, you probably move him to left field, which he's a solid outfielder.
Absolutely.
Won a gold glove a few years ago. Giants, the outfield in Oracle is a little bit tougher to play, so he'll have to learn how to do that. He probably can do that for a few years before having to move over. And then you're just hoping that the bat can, you know, because you move to Oracle, your left-handed hitter, you're not going to be putting it in the seats as often as you would. That maybe something in his mind is for, like it was with Bryce Harper and all these other guys. Like, is this can I put up numbers in this park? That is something he'll be thinking about. So the Giants, in order to get him, they will probably have to go higher than just about everybody else.
Yeah, and that's neither here nor there, because you just asked if I was going to extend an offer, and that's what I'm doing. Whatever he decides is on him. I'm going to put the money out there, man.
By the way, Vladdy was 500 and Soto was 765.
765. So I knew it was closer to eight. And I think with incentives, it could, I think it's over eight. So crazy. 400 sounds like a gosh darn bargain to me.
I mean, who knows? Maybe it goes, maybe you have to add a couple more years. Maybe it's closer to 500. Yeah. That's just, you know, probably the starting point. All right. Somebody who seemed like he would be amazing to hit home runs, but he also, they also have many players who play his position. Kyle Schwarber.
I'd say no. I don't think there's room for him on this team. We've got enough DHs.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Especially if Eldridge becomes that dude, then Devers is our DH. I mean, Devers is going to play a little bit of first base still, even with Eldridge.
He might play a lot of first base, depending on how they feel with Bryce there.
Yeah, Bryce might end up being the DH. Yeah. So we've got, you know, and again, he becomes that dude, then you don't want to roadblock him. So, no, I'm not giving any money to Schwarber.
Pete Alonso.
Same thing, no. Not going to do it. Just not enough room.
Maybe the most interesting guy to me on this entire list, not named Kyle Tucker, left-handed pitcher, Houston Astros, 32 years old, Framber Valdez.
Yes, because every year I look at ground ball percentages, and him and Logan Webb are 1-2.
Yeah.
So to pair him with Logan Webb as a ground ball pitcher at AT&T, and then you go on the road as a ground ball pitcher in a lot of these bandbox ballparks like Cincinnati and some of the ballparks that play small around the league. I'm probably my number one pitcher on the list, I think, would be Framber. I would like to have those two guys together.
I think they are going to be in on him. I think they are going to be one of the top two or three teams on him 100%. The Tucker thing is so hard, because if the Dodgers are interested, they can just, you know, they can blow away whatever just by being the Dodgers. And so, but this, it's almost like the way that he pitches is kind of perfect for the Giants. Now, do you want to, you know, do you want to go, what would it be, like, you know, 6 years or whatever, and pay this dude until he's like 40 years old or 39 years old? Like, that's the hard part. Yeah. And that's what you, you know,
and you have to nowadays, though. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You almost can't get away from it if you want to land somebody. Cause remember, we used to talk about that when we were going after Bryce Harper. We kept talking about it, you know, if we sign him to that deal, he's going to be 42 years old when his deal ends. Yeah. But that's
the,
okay.
Maybe the Giants can trade for Bryce now, because he sounds like he's unhappy in Philly.
And that's the thing, though. But you're getting, I mean, look what the Phillies have gotten from Bryce Harper in that time. It's been worth it. And you're just going to kind of watch him fade away a little bit. But that's fine. If it gives you a chance to go to the playoffs every year, that's all you can ask for. So I'm fine with the later years being a problem.
Yeah. All right. Next on the list is someone who would be a nice to have. I don't see the fit necessarily, but Bo Bichette.
Bo Bichette, if he's willing to play second base and you can move Casey Schmidt, Bo Bichette, second base, full-time. I'm doing it. A huge upgrade over Schmidt. I don't know what the deal is going to be like. And again, I'm looking at this from the standpoint that I didn't offer any of these other people anything.
Yeah, right. If you don't get Tucker would be one. And if you don't get Tucker, would you go after Bo Bichette? And you're saying yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, because I don't know. I mean, other choices out there, Gleyber Torres. I'm not going to.
He's cheaper. He's going to be much cheaper than Tucker. He's probably, you're probably not going to have to go for as many years. He's younger. He did get hurt.
His defense is the same as Casey Schmidt's at second base. That's why I'm thinking Bo Bichette. I would absolutely go in that direction. Yes.
Alex Bregman.
Last year. Yes.
We were kind of in on the idea for like a short contract.
because he had mentioned, and I think his agent threw it out there, that he was willing to play second base. Mm-hmm. And I think that was pushing towards the Giants. But again, was that, you know, just a ploy to, like, we have more suitors because we needed to open up. Not that many people were looking for a third baseman. I think last year, yes, I would still like him to play second base, but I think I'd be fine with Casey Schmidt at second base over what you'd have to pay Bregman. So I'd say no on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you. The idea was Bregman short deal, and that's where we looked at it because he wasn't signed, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's not signed. He may have to do these 2-1 or opt out things, and he opted out of the deal with the Red Sox, so he is probably looking this offseason for the long term deal. Ranger Suarez.
That's a tough one. I don't know. Let me look up his numbers because I don't know a ton about his history.
So he is, I think last year he had a 3.21 ERA, 165 strikeouts. He's going to be probably less years and less money than Framber, so maybe he's a plan B, but he's probably going to be somebody's plan A, and that's what you're working with when it comes to free agency.
I mean, he's a 22 to 29 start pitcher a year. I don't know if I would extend a lot of money towards him, but to be a number four guy, number four, number five.
He'd probably, on this team, with the amount of money that they would have to pay him, he'd probably have to be a number three.
And that's why I wouldn't do a number three, but I'd do number four, number five money.
All right, Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease, he's a tough one, man.
he seems like a Dodgery kind of guy to me.
I mean, he's a little tainted. We've had some taint coming from from the Padres to us, and then, you know, because is that going to be a 1-year deal, and he ends up with the Dodgers in 2027?
Right. Is him and Tyler Glasnow? They're just gonna, like, every other turn, it's Cease or Glasnow. They won't. They'll just be combination pitcher next year.
Yeah, exactly. They'll each throw what 15 starts, 16 starts in the season. I'm gonna go no on that one, and only because Craig Johnson, you know, talking about how they don't want to give big money to big pitchers, and
I'm with you. We're gonna skip, by the way, we're gonna skip the Japanese and the Korean players because we don't know enough about them right now. But I'm sure we'll learn.
Go ahead.
I'm sure we'll learn more about them as the free agency gets on.
Yeah, and I think we're going to go after a lot of those guys big time because, again, we're talking Greg Johnson. We're talking ownership. We're not talking Buster Posey and Zach Manassian. We're talking ownership.
Right.
Owning a baseball team is marketing. Marketing a baseball team is not just San Francisco and the United States. They see what the Dodgers have done outside of the United States. The Dodgers are now a worldwide organization. I think the Giants would be really smart to get a piece of that. Yep. Jung-Hoo Lee is kind of the start of that, but to grow on that would be enormous. So I think there's going to be a lot of money thrown at those guys, and I'm okay with that.
Bring back for like the celebrating all these old teams, bring back Kiyoshi Shinjo. I would love to see that guy back on the field.
Be awesome. I mean, and you remember what who's the Japanese pitcher with when Ichiro was in Seattle his last season there? I can't remember his name. But anyways, they kind of cornered the market on Japan at that time too. So anytime you watched a game, you saw behind them, remember when behind home plate they had the rolling?
Yeah.
Now they just put up, like, you know, they plaster up, superimposed ads. But they had the rolling ads, and there was always, like, an ad for the Nintendo Wii, and it was in Japanese. And you thought they have now cornered the market on the Japanese market. And again, it benefits big time to be on the West Coast. Not Hideki Irabu, who was in New York, the Yankees, the fat, poor fat toad. Isn't that what Steinbrenner called him once?
Terrible. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, the next one is someone I believe the Giants will be in on. I mean, if Cease is kind of dodgery, like this guy is very Giants-y, Zach Gallen.
Yeah, I like Zach Gallen, but man, has he fallen off the last couple of seasons.
And
but
he's going to be expensive for somebody who's fallen off.
Well, yes and no, but like you said, very Giants-y. So is that a one-year deal guy?
We'll see.
Is he going to be signed as your number three?
If he can get two or three or 4 years, I'm sure he'll go after that. I don't know if the Giants will be in for that, but it just seems like he is the kind of guy that the Giants, you know, when you go back to Greg Johnson's comments, it seems like he's like, yeah, we may not go big game hunting with the pitchers, but we could get guys like Zach Gallen, who's just like a, you know, a former all-star and, you know, someone who's a vet. And, you know, he may be a more expensive version of a vet like Verlander was.
He's only had one really, really good season when he was 27 years old in 2023. All-star, third in Cy Young, he got some MVP votes. He was fifth in Cy Young in 2022. 2020 short season Cy Young, ninth. Other than that, I mean, he's been a serviceable pitcher. That's why I don't think, I mean, his ERA plus over his lifetime is 119. So it's not like he's, I could see him absolutely benefiting. If I were him, I'd sign a 1 year deal, try to pitch an Oracle, get some fantastic numbers, get back to who I was, and then start looking at that, because he'll be what, 20 next year is his 30 year old season. So 1 year deal, and then you can sign a 4 year deal after that. But yeah, I'm going to give him an offer. So
it would be one of those things where he's looking for a multi-year deal, doesn't get it, and then comes to the Giants because he believes that his numbers will look good pitching an Oracle, and it would probably be something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm skipping over Michael King just because there's injury concern and who knows what's going on there. I'll skip over that one, but Giants are bare in the bullpen. They need a closer.
Yes, we do.
Edwin Diaz is 31. He was fairly dominant this season after being injured the year before.
He's the problem with Edwin Diaz is he's coming from New York, so he's not going to take little money.
Right.
Not that he's going to get little money anywhere, but how old is he again?
31.
31. He's going to want a 4-year deal.
So the comps in the Athletic piece were Josh Hader, 5 years, 95. Tanner Scott, 4 years, 72. And No. The Dodgers are very unhappy about that Tanner Scott deal.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
I'm
keeping my money on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, closers, the Giants have been able to find closers have been fairly decent for cheap. They just haven't been able to keep one for a bunch of years. And Suarez from the Padres is even older. He's 34, and he's kind of looking for the same amount of money as Diaz.
And his numbers are not nearly as good as Edwin Diaz.
No, he throws. Edwin Diaz is like a strikeout monster, and Suarez is really good strikeouts, but not as much as Diaz.
Right.
Shane Bieber is kind of Giants-y too, though.
Very Giants-y.
You know, he it sounds like he really enjoyed his time with the Blue Jays. I don't know if that was, you know, just kind of the coming off of the World Series. But he would be somebody who is kind of like Gallen in that way.
That, yeah, and I don't, yeah, I'd offer him a year, again, coming off of an injury. Didn't pitch much this season because he came off the Tommy John. So another one. I mean, if you could sign Gallen for 1 year and you can sign Bieber for 1 year, and then you can sign a guy like, who's the first guy we talked about? First pitcher we talked about.
The first starter? Oh, like Framber?
Yeah. So if you can get Framber and then Bieber and Gallen, those two guys on 1 year deals, you got yourself a pitching staff.
You know, we're ending up with Scherzer.
Yeah, I know. this is pretend land.
Yeah,
right? So I'm getting I'm gonna give Bieber probably a 1 year deal. I'm gonna say come over here, Oracle Park. We'll blow up your numbers and look really nice.
I'm gonna skip over Imanaga because it sounds like these players may actually be interested in taking these qualifying offers just because of the you know, maybe the unknown about after next season with the players and the owners are going to be dealing. So there's another heavy home run guy. He plays third base, so he's probably not a great fit. Eugenio Suarez.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he fits what the Giants are looking for. We have enough swing out of their shoe guys.
Yeah, we're very right-handed in the infield as it is too.
Exactly. Yeah, we need to you know, trade for Stephen Kwan. That's what we need to do. We need to get athletic. So yeah.
And here's another kind of Giantsy guy who's 39. Has been around the park with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, that's Merrill Kelly.
You can probably just say, you know, Landon Roop or Hayden Birdsong, you can probably do just as well if you stay.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like, do I want to put money there, or would I rather trade for a guy? I think I'd rather trade for a guy than sign Merrill Kelly. Sorry, Merrill Kelly.
Giants are in need of a second baseman, unless you believe Casey Schmidt is going to hit in the bigs. Gleyber Torres, age 29, probably looking for, 3-4 year deal. Still a young man. Would you be in on Gleyber?
I would not. No, I think Gleyber Torres, and only because his defense is roughly the same as Casey Schmidt. I think I'd rather give Casey Schmidt a full-time job at second base if I had to pick between the two and save the money for pitching. So no, I wouldn't go that route.
Polanco is out there too, 32 years old. And he's a switch hitter, so it changes up the right-handedness of your infield a little bit.
I think he's a great utility guy. I think he's a great off the bench guy. For the Giants, that is. I think he's like, he'd be the new and improved Wilmer Flores.
Yeah, he's gets hurt a lot too.
Yeah.
All right. This is maybe the most interesting one. I can't imagine this is on their radar just because, but you have a gold glove catcher who can't hit for shit. And right. There's a guy who's an old man. His name is JT Realmuto. And he's probably going to cost you more than you're willing to pay to be to be an every other day catcher for you. But I thought that was an interesting one, was JT Realmuto.
I wouldn't give him the money because I don't even think he's going to leave Philly.
Yeah.
But not even that. I don't think I would want to spend the money on him being a backup. Basically.
Yeah. No. He's got to start to make that money that he has.
Yeah. And Bailey's defense is just way defensive catchers just super valuable. So I can't see that. I can't see the Giants looking for a new starting catcher.
All right. I'm skipping Grisham.
Yeah.
I think the Giants already have guys who are set there. Another Giantsy pitcher, Chris Bassitt.
Yeah, I liked him a couple of years ago. I thought after he got, did he get traded from the A's or did they? Yeah, I think he got traded from the A's. When he got traded from the A's, I was like, man, I wish it was the Giants that he traded and that they traded him to.
Yeah, the only upside for guys like this, he's 36, is that he's not looking for a 4-year deal, or he probably is, but he wouldn't get it. Teams are going like, yeah, you know, for 1 year or 2 years, like, you know, we'll be interested. And that's kind of where the Giants are sitting anyways.
I'd say yes. And honestly, I think you could put it in the category of all of these pitchers who are 1 year, 2 year guys, back end of the rotation. I would say yes to. All right. I mean, we need arms. I know we need arms. So,
do you bring back Tyler Rogers?
Yeah.
You know, you probably have to pay him like three times as much as you paid him to be on your team before that.
And they were going to have to anyways as a free agent. I mean, his numbers have been fantastic. He is a great seventh inning, eighth inning guy. He has proven time and time again that the guys have just not figured him out. And I think he liked San Francisco, and I think him coming back would be huge. The fans would love it. And I'm giving him some money.
35-year-old Raisel Iglesias, who has closed in the past, though as he gets older, he's probably better as a setup guy from the right side. And he played, like he pitches, right? He shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it's, I don't know if you want to pay, you know, $12 or $15 million a year to Rogers and Iglesias as setup guys and non-closers,
right.
But you know, they do need arms.
That's a tough one, man. What did he have last year? He had 29 saves in Atlanta, 34, 33. God, I do like him. I've always liked him.
Yeah, me too.
He's 35 years old. If you give him a big fat 2-year deal to be your closer, I mean, how many blown saves? I don't see blown saves, but that's a tough one. We need back-end bullpen guys. His Ks per nine have just gone down and down and down. I think on a 1-year deal, I'm going to give him some money.
All right, let's end this. We got to 30-ish. It would probably take us another half an hour to get through the rest of the list. But someone who is kind of interesting, who we talked about last year. Now, he came off a really good season the previous year. Last year got hurt, and he got hurt at the end of the year. So he came into last year hurt, did not play a ton. Haesung Kim to possibly play second base. And, you know, it's probably going to take a few years. But his average salary per year is probably not insane. It's just whether or not you think that he's going to, you know, he's going to play and not be hurt. Because he, in 2023, he won the Gold Glove at second base.
Right. And that is probably the reason that I do offer him a contract. And it's because of the glove. He's 29. It'll be his 30-year-old season. Mm-hmm. Only played in 24 games, 48 games last year, it looks like. 234, getting his legs back under him. OPS plus of 83. On base percentage, 304. I mean, again, playing in his 30-year-old season, do you think it would take like 4 years? Or do you think you can give him a 1-year deal, a 2-year deal?
Yeah. That's the trick of the whole thing, right? Yeah. Is who's got the leverage? Is, you know, if he's got three or four teams willing to give him 3 or 4 year deal, then maybe if you're the Giants, you're like, okay, like we're out of that. But
yeah,
if he can't find the deal that he wants and he comes back and he's willing to take a 2 year, maybe we pay a little bit higher than the, you know, to get him. So it's a lot of that kind of stuff.
If a lot of teams are giving him 2 year deals, and you know, say 3 or 4 teams are giving him 2 year deals, and the Giants come with a 2 year deal, and again, you got to look at does he want to play? He loves Jung Woo Lee. I mean, they're best friends. So does he want to play on this Giants team with Jung Woo Lee for the next couple of seasons? Yeah, maybe
that would be. So, I mean, it would be cool going back to your comment about different markets and such for players. So all right, that was a fun little exercise. Now
I like that.
Now all the guys that we like, Buster may be like, come on guys, like we're not in on any of these guys. Instead we're gonna be in on who was some of the people that I skipped over. We're gonna be in on Cody Bellinger. We're throwing all of them. I only skipped him because I just assume he's going back to the Yankees. But
yeah, most likely, because again, when you look at him, you look at his splits at Yankee Stadium, he was nuts. I mean, we're looking at, it was like a 50, like a plus 50 OPS plus at Yankee Stadium versus on the road. And again, how does that play at Oracle? I don't know. I mean, Yankee Stadium is not that different than Oracle Park, and when you're talking right field. So maybe it plays the same, and maybe he's happy to play at Oracle Park because of that. I mean, he's hit there quite a few years because when he was with the Dodgers, but he's another guy that I might extend an offer to because he still plays really good defense. And again, that's what the Giants are looking for, defense and athleticism. But he is getting older, so.
All right, let's talk a little bit to end this show about the World Baseball Classic, which we are big fans of. And there's been some announcements, and I really like the addition of some of these players on Team USA.
Yeah, man.
If you're thinking like the way that I think of putting Team USA together is like in MLB The Show, what is the kind of team that I'm trying to put together? Well, I'm trying to put together guys like Corbin Carroll and Pete Crow Armstrong because they have power and they have speed. And that's how you win in video games. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the World Baseball Classic that way. But I like the idea of having younger guys who are proven big leaguers joining an Aaron Judge, I think Skeens, Bobby Witt, and Cal Raleigh are on the team already. And DeRosa's still managing, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And you also look at Pete Crow Armstrong and Corbin Carroll, and you say, these guys are like, you know, won gold gloves or finalists for gold gloves.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing, too, because the pitching, we're talking about spring training pitching.
Right.
Right. We're not talking about this is August, September, October pitching. This is spring training pitching. So your starters aren't quite on, your relievers aren't quite on. Having defense is super key. Defense is always there. It's not like you got to ramp up to have defense. It's not like the defense starts to shine in, you know, July or August. Defense is always there. Speed is always there. Athleticism, always there. So that's why these guys are important.
And then pool play starts March 5th. And the championship round is March 13th. So that is kind of an insane turnaround to when the beginning of the season starts, because the Giants and the Yankees play on opening night on Netflix of all places, which is going to be a blast. I'm jazzed for the WBC, man. Like this is to get high quality baseball like so early in the season is awesome. The Giants are going to be playing an exhibition against Team USA in spring training. So before, like right before pool play starts, they play Team USA. So that'll be a lot of fun. And maybe we'll get Logan Webb on the squad too. We'll see. He didn't pitch last time around, but you know, I do wonder if he would be a bit, though in all-star games, he kind of sucks. So he may have to flip that.
So when does the season open? Giants and Yankees?
Let's see. Giants versus Yankees Netflix is March 25th.
March 25th. I'll be in Disneyland. There you go. That always seems to happen. Anytime the season opens, I'm in Disneyland, but that's all right.
I wonder if they've even mentioned who the announcers are going to be for these games. That'll be interesting.
They got to have some big names. Who's producing them
as well? Because
yeah, that's the key.
All right, that is it. I wanted to thank George Khoury, Khory, for joining in the chat, and also at TBD1613 was also hanging out in the chat. And like I mentioned at the top of this, we will miss next week because of the holiday week. So we'll be back after that. And hopefully there's going to be some free agent news, like Josh Naylor, the only guy who I think, right? Is he the only guy who has been signed so far?
And not even really technically a free agent, just went back to the same team.
Yeah, went back to the same team. So, all right, that is it from here. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.